Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. If you remember back to episode 170, we went in the mix with DJ J-Rod, and we are doing that again. Brought on Totally Normal from the burgeoning Pittsburgh scene. He is a talent on the rise and opened up Haunted Fest 2017 here in the city of Pittsburgh. Excited to get him on and excited for you to hear this mix. It comes in hard, so might want to skip your cup of coffee today and maybe specifically target this one for your trip to the gym, because it will get you tuned up. Here is Going Deep in the Mix with Totally Normal.
All right, guys, we've stumbled on the majestic forest. The locals here say that if you look close enough and listen closely, you can hear and see a weird creature.
I used to love Kanye. ain't no homegirl trapping like a NASDAQ. Move white girls like this coat up my ass crack. Move black girls, cause man, fuck it, I'll do either. I love pussy, I love bitches, dude, I should be running Peter and Adidas with some short shorts. B-O-O-R over me, my green is where it's supposed to be. Your green is in my grocery. This Asian dude, I stole his girl, and now he got that Koji beef. My dick is like an accent mark, it's all about the overeat. Hot like a parked car, I sound weird like nigga with a hard R. Fly like the logo on my cousin's 440. Eating Oreos like these white girls that blow me. Vodka for my ladies, whiskey for a grown man. Hanging in the islands looking for Earl like Toe Jam. I make the beat retarded, so I'm calling it a slow jam. People shouting, I know it, man. It'll be going. These rappers are afraid of him, cause I'm a beast, bitch, girl. Invaders and Gambino, it's a call girl. Fuck you, gave me brand new way for these niggas like slavery. Told me I was awful and that shit did not faze me. Tell me how I suck again, my memory is hazy. You're my favorite rapper now, yeah, dude, I better be. Or you can fucking kiss my ass, human centipede. You wanna see my girl? I ain't that dumb. You wanna see my girl? Check Maxim. Man, why does every black actor gotta rap some? I don't know, all I know is I'm the best one. It's a bomber, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. It's a bomber, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. You know these rapper dudes talk shit, start killing. Fuck that back dudes like an arch villain. I'm from the South, ain't got no accent, don't know why. So this rapper's child's play, I do my name like Princess Di. Yeah, they say they want the realness. Crap the rap on real life. Told me I'm just cool. First of all, you talk white. Second off, you talk like you haven't given up yet. Rap stepfather, yeah, you hate me, but you will respect.
Yeah, I had drama, girl, not right now. I would never go and chat, what we talking about? You the only one I know can fit it all in the. Man, I always wonder if you ask yourself, is it just me? Is it just me? Is this sex so good? This sex so good, 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 so good. Is this sex so good? I shouldn't have.
This sex so good, I shouldn't have to. gonna get with me, better make it fast. Now don't go wasted my precious time. Get your act together, we could be just fine.
be stomping on it. this could take some time. Hey, made too many mistakes. Better get this right. Oh, baby, look what you started. The temperature's rising in here. Is this gonna happen? Been waiting and waiting for you to make a move.
I think that really what would be most valuable for the audience broadly is to talk a little bit about when you got started. And you, before we turn the mics on, talked about failing a bunch of times at attempted mashups and mixes and whatnot. So
Still doing it.
Of course, can you get in a little more into the weeds, though, about that initial process? Because one thing people in the podcasting world will be familiar with is there's a famous podcaster who says when you start creating anything, you usually come in, the reason you start creating is because you have good taste, you have a vision in your head for what you're trying to do, and then when you try to execute on it, that's where the gap sometimes exists.
Who said that?
He's the guy who started This American Life, Ira Glass.
Yeah, so the very beginning of it was just, you know, started with how good my friend's mashups were, really. And it was like, you know, he's a percussion guy in high school and did musicals and stuff like that, as did I, but he was actually good at it, and he just had a great ear for what went with what, and our music tastes were very similar, but my what I gravitated towards was more electronic music, and so I was trying to do the same thing, but with a, you know, crazy, energetic, hyped up sound. And so, you know, I had ideas that were, you know, kind of like we were just talking about. I had good ideas that, and I didn't know anything about music theory. I couldn't tell you the key of a song. I couldn't tell you how keys related to each other and all that stuff that, like, is really important when you're trying to do combining two completely different songs. And objectively, looking back, they weren't good, but for some reason, I still liked them. And when I initially had sent them to my friends, you know, I was getting feedback like, hey, these songs aren't in key, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, kind of trial by fire, failing a bunch of times. And it's weird. It never really did get me down. Like I never was like, oh, I'm bad at this. Maybe I did say that, but like, I just like didn't care because it was so new and cool. And I just liked it so much that if other people didn't like it, and this is kind of like what has motivated me forever, is like, if other people don't like what I'm doing, it pushes me so much harder to be like, oh, I'm going to make you love what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to work so hard and make something so good. And, you know, usually it's a little bit of spite that pushes me. It's like, I'm going to make you love what I do if you don't like it already.
Nothing wrong with that. In terms of the work that you put in, that might be somewhat opaque or hard to understand for folks who aren't in music production, and maybe quite frankly they think of traditionally someone playing their piano or playing their guitar, or just a different field of study. So when you're putting in the hours, when you're putting in the work, what does that look like? What does that entail for someone who's completely unfamiliar with this world?
Yeah, so mashups was like the first thing that I did for about 8 to 12 months, getting my first laptop. And then after that, it stemmed into synthesis, music production, and it's really engineering. It's a kind of weird combination of engineering and your sort of classical sense of piano, because how you make music on the computer is you plug in MIDI, which is red, you know, kind of, it looks like a piano, and you can plug in your notes where your hands would play the piano, and then you're creating an instrument. You're taking the fundamentals of what sound is, where, you know, all sound waves are a combination of sine waves, triangle, square, and saw, and modulations of those, and understanding what sounds make things. Like, subs are usually just very pure sine waves. That's how you get a really good warm low end, and then everything else is whatever makes sense and like sounds good to you. That's what you're going for. And the process of music production is, for people that are more into like the classical sense of music that I compare to composing, where you have the idea in your head and you're saying, okay, I want the cellos to be doing this while the violins do this, and the, you know, basses are going to be sustaining these notes, and I'm going to bring in flutes at this point in time, and then out of nowhere we're going to have a triangle solo and stuff like that. and you take your the instruments that you use, and it's like, you are making them. You are taking, like, you'd think, how many kicks can you have, like a, you know, kick drum? Well, I have 130 in one folder of my computer, and probably 5,000 scattered throughout my desktop. And so you have a world of music that you can, you know, take influence from, and like the sounds almost influence the melody as much as the melody influences like what sounds I use. And that's something that I think will hopefully soon be integrated with actual classical music, is the use of electronic instruments. Because like there are so many people, so many producers out there that make crazy awesome music ideas that are incorporating these you know, synthesizers and contemporary electronic music. And I think that it opens the floodgates for beautiful things you've never thought of before. And that's been like the real thing that keeps me gripped on electronic music more than anything. It's just like, when I hear something that I've never heard, a sound that I've never heard before, let alone like a melody chord structure that I haven't heard, it's just like, it's something else.
There's a lot of parallels between the world of music production and the world of podcasting, not just the sense that it's audio, but the same notion that previously, if you wanted to arrange all these different sounds, you would have needed that orchestra.
Yeah,
and that's,
totally.
That's cost intensive, that's inefficient, and now that entire thing can be composed from your laptop. And there's been chart-topping hits made on a laptop in an airport somewhere.
Totally.
Similarly, what we're doing right now would have previously required a radio studio and all sorts of equipment. We're now sitting in my living room being able to record this conversation, and the democratization of that creativity is something that's really exciting. I get pegged as sometimes a naive optimist or a perpetual optimist when it comes to these things. I think it's, for some people, easier to default to cynicism. But my perception, speaking with you, is that this is something that you're also extremely optimistic about, the opportunities that this creates for people, and just the general impact that it's going to have on music in general.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the cynicism comes from usually people that are unfamiliar with what opportunities actually exist. My biggest thing with people following what it is they want and seeing this huge light at the end of the tunnel is that the only thing that separates you from that is the spirit of entrepreneurialism, where you, like, you take what you love and make it work for you. Like, if you love doing something so much, you will want to learn how to master it. And when you master or you know, are taking the steps of mastering something like that, all you need is the push and, you know, having, and it really, it took someone sort of telling me when I my last year of college, I was taking entrepreneurship classes. I took like 3 or 4 in my last senior year, and just getting that mind, that, you know, sort of business mindset that you need to have in order to make your dreams come true is something that I don't think is taught at all. Like, there might have been a single entrepreneurship class in my high school, and I'm pretty sure every single time that people are in that class, they end up running the like concession stand in the cafeteria. I don't know what the biggest takeaway from that is, but like it's something where once you instill, or the younger that you instill it, it's like, you know, you can take the things that you like, that you're passionate about, and run with it. And I think that that's what has driven me so much, is that, you know, I before I even thought of doing this in a long-term sense, where like that didn't even happen until late junior year of college, where I was like, okay, like this isn't just something that I can dream about. Like this is something that I can actively work towards and, you know, make a living situation out of this, where every single day I wake up and make music and have it benefit me professionally.
Your hunger is palpable, and I know that you have your sights set on bigger things in the future. If people want to connect with you in the digital world, what coordinates can we point them towards to follow along and learn more?
I am on soundcloud.com/totallynormal, and my Facebook and Instagram is totallynormalmusic, Snapchat_totallynormal. Oh, wait, no, that's Twitter. Yeah, it's really great having, other bit of advice is, when you're developing your brand, make sure you can lock down as many, consistent social media links as you can, because this is mine and I still don't remember most of them. But yeah, _totallynormal is what I am on Twitter. TotallyNormL is what I am on Snapchat. Yeah, that pretty much covers the bases. If you Google Totally Normal, I'm pretty sure I'm the first thing that pops up. It's like my SoundCloud, then my Facebook, then YouTube and stuff like that. And I usually keep all of my social stuff on my SoundCloud. So
awesome.
And that's where my music is, so just go there.
Yeah, if that was complicated, you can also head to the show notes for this episode, goingdeepwithaaron.com/podcast. We'll have the links to each and every one of those accounts, and more information about Totally Normal's mix that he put together for this show and what he's up to. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Connect with Aaron on Twitter and Instagram @AaronWatson59.